If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have seven different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
They're back! The Wyatt Six has returned to SmackDown. We've got your review for May 23rd. Happy Memorial Day weekend. We've got so much wrestling this weekend. We're going to talk all about this episode of SmackDown. TNA has their big show going on with Trick versus Joe Hendry. We've got Saturday night's main event. We've got an NXT PLE in Battleground coming up for you. We've got AEW Double or Nothing. Holy cow. Plenty of wrestling for you. And we've got it all here for you on Fightful. So much to talk about. Wyatt Six returning. We find out Bianca Belair is coming back next week, which is great news. Plenty to get into. So get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats at humperchats.com. Hold on that, actually, because my humper chat access is being weird, but definitely get in your super chats. I'm sure I'll get in there eventually on the Humper Chat side, but also leave a thumbs up on this video and do subscribe to this YouTube channel that we reached 175,000 subscribers, a huge milestone for us, on track to do 200,000 by the end of the year. That support means so much, but you're going to want to tap that bell for notifications. You know the drill. If you're watching wrestling podcast, you probably know the spiel and how that goes, but we do have so much content for you on the post-show side. There are so many shows just this weekend to talk about, and we've got Alex Pawlowski in the house. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment because we're going to be doing your NXT review on the main channel. We're going to be behind the paywall together this weekend as well. He's going to review Saturday night's main events for a lot of reasons, but I'm also joined, as always, by Alex Cardoza. Cardoza, how you doing?
We'll talk about this show. Wasn't very, very happy about it, but we'll talk about it.
very happy about it. I was excited because things happened. We had stuff actually moving along, which is good, but we've got plenty to talk about with these Money in the Bank qualifiers, with the return of the Wyatt Six. Not who I thought they were going after, but I am excited that they're back. I hope that we get rocking and rolling with that. But got some notes for you from the Fightful Select side. I thought Sean might be joining in the beginning of this, but if he does come in, we'll let him talk more extensively about things. But there is a lot that has happened in the past 24 hours on the WWE side, including this change in venue for WrestleMania, right? We were told that Vegas is the plan for Mania, but not finalized. WWE told Fightful that a future Mania will be in New Orleans. No word on if officially that's 2026, but that is what we've been told so far. We had Goldberg news on Fightful Select today, targeting Atlanta for some Saturday night main event action. So keep an eye out on that. Also, WWE having agents going to the Mexico taping. So they're got eyes out all around. But of course, we saw the big return of the Wyatt Six. Select had reported that the Wyatts were in town and that Bo has been cleared for months. And they weren't factored into media plans because the creative was already set. So a lot going on there. A lot going on at Fightful Select. We're going to dig into all of it and more. We got some generous chats coming in from you already, but Alex Pulowski is here. We gave you a rundown on all the shows that are happening. Alex and I have your Sour Graps review where we were pretty sweet on some of the stuff. We're both looking forward to Jordan Grace and Julia. We like, the go home segment that we got from Miles Bourne and Obafemi was great. Alex is our resident Obafemi stan. So we've got some things to look forward to on NXT Battleground, but I'm sure we'll have things to be sour about too, Alex.
Yeah, we will. I just wanted just to be here to plug the stuff that we were going to do and also to question why we thought it took them this long to add a single women's match to the Saturday night's main event thing. And it's just a rematch of Zelina versus Chelsea because they don't have any other ideas. So it's the same. It's basically the same thing as Hollywood because they're doing Freakier Friday. Apparently somebody told me that while I was streaming and it broke my brain. So we're doing Freakier Friday. And also, we're doing another rerun, which is Chelsea Green and Zelina. So that's
We're going to talk about that a little bit later, too. This women's mid-card continues to waffle because why is Zelina in a Money in the Bank qualifier if she already has her own title and she hasn't defended it? Like, she should be worrying about that title instead of looking for more gold, in my opinion, but we'll talk about it more. Alex, we're doing double duty this weekend, you and I. Say duty.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. We are doing that. We're going to do a review of Battleground on this very channel. And then when that is over, we'll just switch over behind the paywall and review Double or Nothing. Because that's how I want to stretch my brain as thin as possible. On Sunday would be a thing that I would like to do, but yeah, it should be a lot of fun. So come hang out.
I think when I was doing the rundown, I said Julia versus Jordan Grace. We already got that match, and it absolutely ruled. What I meant to say was Steph Ecker and Jordan Grace, which I'm assuming will also rule. So we do have that to look forward to. A Double or Nothing, a hell of a card. Osprey and Hangman, I have very high expectations for. Mercedes and Jamie Hayter, I have very high expectations for. Anarchy in the Arena is usually a good time, so we will see what's going on with that. But we got some support for you from Sweet and Sassy Creations, who says, I agree with Alex that everything sucks. Going to tomorrow night, let's go, R-Truth. I'm tired of all the DQs, all the stinking time. Yeah, we're gonna talk about the good and the bad of all that. But Alex, anything else you want to
I've decided to subject myself to Saturday night's main event tomorrow night. And if you are available, you will attend without having watched the show. But
correct.
It's still a big if. However, if it's just me, you can come hang out and maybe my brain will be entirely broken like it was for the stream that I just finished behind the paywall, which other people seem to like it when I lose my mind. So that could be fun for everybody else tomorrow as well.
Can't say I hate it. And Saturday night's main event also where your webcam broke one time and it ended up to you doing the entire show in a Jesse Ventura impression. So
let's
either way, let's having fun back there behind the paywall.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Alex. And you're stuck with me a lot this weekend. So
I'm not stuck with. Happy to accompany. Happy to accompany you on our journey through this.
Through a lot of wrestling. Mm-hmm. A lot of wrestling.
Yeah. Right.
Well, thank you, kind sir. And I will see you several times this weekend.
See you later, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Alex. Well, that was Alex Pulaski. We've got so much going on this weekend. Broken SGS Universe was weird. You guys are so funny. He does do a Friday SmackDown review where he summarizes and goes through and reviews the first 2 hours while doing a watch along of the third hour of SmackDown. So we'll see what that format looks like if they blessedly switch back to 2 hours. But the line drive saying, is there any insight or logic to why or when themes are changed? Because the Fraxium change is Def Rebel's worst. It's just rhyming their name. Never slowed down, at least told you what these guys were about. It's true. It's true. Corey David saying something needs to happen to Def Rebel. Let's start there because a $20 super chat is a very generous one and it's very much appreciated. They're terrible at this. I'm sorry. Def Rebel's really, 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 really bad at this. They have a consistent track record now of being really, really bad at this. And it feels like it's done with an incredible amount of laziness behind it. It's really bad. Royal Rumble this year should have told them everything they needed to know about what these themes are doing to the presentations of this. Like, there were no pops for so many people because they are so indistinct and unrecognizable and not associated with anyone. And I'm not saying everyone's Jim Johnston. I'm not saying everything has the glass shattering in front of it. Kevin Owens? You know when Kevin Owens is coming, right? And I don't even think people consider that maybe like the most iconic theme. That is one theme that hasn't changed, whether that guy was face or heel. Like, you can do some really creative stuff, and we know Def Rebel can be good when they choose to be. Io Sky's theme is great. Tom Tonga's wasn't bad, but they're just lazy as hell, and it's exhausting because I don't want to come on here, and I never root for anyone to lose their job. I don't intentionally go out to crap on things, but it seems to be a pretty universal opinion that Def Rebel is really, really, really bad at this. This Fraxium change was bad. I don't know why they did it. To answer the question on that, I'll see if Sean has an idea. I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to it other than like when somebody has a new presentation as far as getting called up, as far as turning heel or face, or if they have themes that are up for a copyright change or whatever. Like sometimes there's music rights things that they have to contend with, and so they have to change them that way. It's awful. It's awful. Like, you see what Mikey Ruckus does, and I know he's not a one-man shop, but he's pretty damn close. This is a billion-dollar company. They could do better than this. They could license music more often than they do. It doesn't say young, fresh, exciting tag team at all. It is bad. It is bad, Alex. Anything to add to that?
Well, you know, they have a different way of handling business, right? They've always have. I don't think we've seen anybody come in here and really compose something monumental in quite some time. And obviously you have the ones that fall through the cracks that are really good, right? That just like hit and you know who they are. But you said it exactly. Like, Plus, I don't think they're in the business of wanting to spend money on licensing music. I'm sorry, they're, you know, I think maybe if it was, and I grew up watching the old WWF, and I remember the WWF metal CDs, and I remember when they were doing absolutely everything possible to be out there in front and center with Fred Durst and you know, other people. Disturbed, when Stone Cold got the Disturbed entrance theme.
Sure.
That was amazing. But I just don't, this is not the company anymore that like that. This is a...
I mean, they've done it for CM Punk. They've done it for Aleister Black. But if you're not in the business of licensing music, you do need to be in the business of hiring people who are good at this.
Right.
This
yes. Has gone on correct. But CM Punk is the exception, right? Like, he's an old vet that you've had here for before. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
You're not going to have Fraxium come in and say, hey, I want Taylor Swift to call me out to them. Don't laugh at him. You know,
sure.
Oh, but you let CM Punk do it, then they'll laugh at him again.
I don't know if anything has changed, but I know about this time, I want to say it was about this time last year, people were like, hey, what's going on with the creative process? Because these themes are bad. And the word then was, there's not a collaborative process. Like, Dev Rebel doesn't really sit down with the wrestlers. That could have changed. I don't know. But last I knew was that they don't do that, which to me says, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And I don't normally stand by such strong language as this, but if someone super chats, it's our duty to read this. But me, Norma, saying Def Rebel has ruined the Royal Rumble. Wow. Very, and I'm sorry to use such strong language. This is up there with the silly words.
Easy,
very poopy. Easy. Very poopy.
Guys, we're not trying to get demonetized. Okay. All right.
Well, me, Normus, is saying that he's appalled by the lack of Clavs on this post show. I thought this was a place we commit to bits. The shame going back to these
I'm
ribs,
ashamed.
Noodles. So
me, Normus, just
dissatisfied all around.
I apologize. I will be paying you back all of your super chats. Not really.
Not really. Ricardo saying, lovelies, how was the Fed tonight? I liked it more than Alex did. We're going to talk about it in a minute.
A little slow, but it's all right. I mean, matches are matches, but, you know, I enjoy wrestling. I enjoy good wrestling, and I also enjoy great segments, and I saw my boy do a great segment, so I'm happy.
Do you enjoy disqualifications?
Listen, I just want to put this out there for everyone, okay? Is it really Friday Night SmackDown without the D word?
I said it.
I'm going in there. Is it really a Friday night SmackDown without the D-word, friends?
Anthony Velasquez liked it. He says that, been a while since I've enjoyed a SmackDown, but I thought this was a solid show for the most part. And also adding, loved Solo's reaction to Jacob getting a qualifying match. He acted excited, but you could see the fear in his eyes. Yeah. I agree with that entirely. We're gonna
maybe you guys will change my mind. Anymore. Maybe I just was watching it and just, I was out today all day in the sun, so maybe, you know.
Oh my gosh.
I know you guys don't see sun up there, you know, and it's in the 50s and you guys are wearing like jackets and stuff. I don't know any.
We don't need that kind of negativity around here. Okay, please. Early in the show to be pulling Alex off the stream already, but what's done is done.
I'm tan and sexy and living in North Carolina.
Ryan Cicchini. I hope I say that right every week. I'm sorry that I probably don't, but saying forever ago, I thought the way was the best fit to feud with the Wyatts, Nikki and Candace, Dexter with the whole group. Disappointing, no Indy. Yeah, Dexter Loomis could be the like custody that's being fought over there, but we are going to start at the end here because we get a great tag match. I mean, a great tag match. And I don't like when things end in DQs. I don't like when main events end in DQs. I don't like when titles are the line and things end in DQs. But inarguably, the Wyatts returning, I think, is a really good thing. I was kind of hoping, and they still might do this, that they would go after Charlotte, because I think it would be really interesting to see Charlotte get humbled, and she's been somewhat braggadocious still lately, and this tension with her and Alexa is interesting, and we're gonna talk about that next. But we do have the Wyatts coming in to wreak havoc. Where we had left off with the Wyatts, they had been homicidal baby faces in a way. Like, they were going around trying to deliver justice in this very, very violent way. And it was interesting because there was a juxtaposition to that of, I think the intent was, and I don't think the execution was there, but I think the intent was like, people come in to face the Wyatt Six and they don't leave the same. Alex Pulaski and I talked about that pretty extensively behind the paywall of like how, what a fresh and interesting and exciting character that would be to like, or faction to be, to receive an opponent, right? Who doesn't leave the same as when they faced you. And I think that could be really cool. And for someone like Charlotte, that could be like a very necessary and fresh way to approach her character. If they're going after the Street Profits here in this new heel persona and looking for golds, I think that's something that could work. So I'm open to see where it goes. I don't buy any of the nonsense about them not being on WrestleMania. Like, I'm sorry. Like, your only tag match was the New Day versus the War Raiders. Come on, man. Like, that's pretty lame. It is Bray Wyatt's birthday, so that I think was really like beautifully done. There was the tribute of them blowing out the candle on his birthday, which I thought was extremely heartfelt. And I'm glad that they're back. I don't buy any of the nonsense. Any of the nonsense that all creative was set. We couldn't do this. No. Like, this group came in with such creative gusto behind them. Alexa Bliss had this tremendous return pop at Royal Rumble. You're telling me you couldn't figure out a way to get this on the Mania card? I don't think so. No thanks. Not buying that excuse. Glad they're back. SmackDown could use that depth. They could use that intrigue. I just hope they're back with some intentionality behind what they're doing here.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What did you think of the return and what did you think of the tag match? I thought the actual match that we had going was pretty great.
Yeah, I thought that the tag match itself was obviously pretty good. It did feel long for some reason. At some point, I felt like it was just like going.
It was a long match. It was a longer match.
And then the crowd kind of was sitting on their hands for a lot of it. So that kind of, I think that's what set my tone, because the crowd was, I don't want to say dead, but they just like, it is. I mean, you can hear them talking in the ring. You know, that's how kind of quiet they were, you know?
It was the Quiet Six.
It was, yeah, until the Wyatt came out. It was just dead. I'm not selling that, by the way. I can't believe you called them the Quiet Six. But
you
yeah.
should be selling that. That was a fantastic joke. Chat, tell him it was a fantastic joke.
I am not selling chat. Don't make me sell chat. But yes.
You sell for me, USOB. I sign your checks. No, I don't.
That is true. I did confess myself to you last week too.
It's true. You were like, I love you, Kate.
I put my hands together, looked up to the sky. But yeah, other than that, I think it was just that moment that kind of was like, I was watching and I was like kind of just like slouching on my chair. I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, why is this so long? Why is the crowd not into what I'm watching? You know, like I thought it was
especially
good
with these two teams.
Yes.
Like, how are you not into Frexium,
they were flying all over the place. They were just doing great. Just like the moves that the Spanish fly off the top rope. Oh my God. That was great on Dawkins. Like that was just
crazy.
That, first of all, yes. And more. Yes.
Yeah, the Spanish fly from Axiom and then Frazier with the Phoenix splash to follow it up was like, and it was a good near fall too.
Really good.
A late kick there. I also love Frazier with that springboard drop kick into the shooting star press. Like never ceases to amaze me. Another close spot with that doomsday blockbuster. Like this had some really, really
good moments. It's just that I think I know they had to extend it because of the DQ at the end.
Sure.
I just feel like this could have been put in somewhere else on the show, would have been more impact. Obviously, this is your last thing you're seeing, so I could be wrong there too, but we'll see.
You're not wrong that it was long, and we do have DIY and the Motor City Machine Guns rushing the ring and equalizing each other at ringside. Like in the same way that last week I said it felt like Jade and Naomi were so shoehorned into the women's match, it also felt like these two teams brawling yet again in the world title match that they have nothing to do with gets old. Like it's just the same playbooks over and over again, but it kind of happened quick and was a little less obtrusive, so I didn't hate it as much. But I also am like, can we just let bangers be bangers, man? Can we just let these tag matches cook? Because
let wrestling wrestlers wrestle. Like, there's just no need for the extracurricular activities that are happening.
It's true. It's true. And we have Frazier missing a Phoenix splash, Dawkins hitting a spine buster, and Ford sets up the From the Heavens, and that's when the lights go out.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the Wyatt Six coming back to the tag division? Because I kind of feel like this is me like complaining that the food is bad and the portions are too small. They really don't do a ton of exciting things in the tag division. It's much stronger on SmackDown than it is on Raw. I will say that. And I can't complain that they're not doing exciting stuff. And then when they give me something to try and make it more exciting, be like, well, they're not going to care about it. Like it's on me to, I don't subscribe to the just be a fan thing, but I do feel like if I'm asking them to care about tag wrestling and they put one of their top acts in it, I should be able to assume I get punished for this too often, but I should be able to assume that they're coming back for something interesting. I'm not sure what this looks like going forward, but how do you feel about this act mixing up in the tag division? And do you think this spills over into the women's tag division or where do you see the Nikki Cross and Alexa angle going?
Kay, where would you put them? Where would you put them? They're a gimmicky group. There's nowhere else you could put them. You're the top of the card with the world champions is so stacked that there's none of those guys that are in that group. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. None of them could hold a candle to these guys that are holding the world championships right now. Okay. Number two, you're not going to put them. They could very well chase US title. That's fine. Right. But right now, the U.S. title is on someone who is a complete monster. No one's taking that off of him anytime soon. Okay? The weakest portion of WWE happens to be either the women's mid-card titles, unfortunately, and the tag team titles, unfortunately, right? Now, on both ends, male and
sure, female. Yeah. I mean,
so
especially the women's side.
Where else are you going to stick these... this gimmicky group, this is as gimmicky as it can get in a WWE right now that is running storylines with people with real names and are hot and on fire. Okay.
Sure.
Until they can go after an LA Knight. They can, individually go after certain people. But at the end of the day, I think, and I talk about this for the last 3 years here, this is where they'll be boxed in for a while.
I don't disagree in that there's not really places for them to come after Gold. I think one of the biggest mistakes that WWE made with The Fiend was when they had him mixed up in the title picture, right? I think there's a lot of people that feel like this should be a title adjacent act. The problem is everything's kind of mixed up in each other right now, where the mid-card's been very muddy. There's Money in the Bank qualifiers going on. So it's like all of these people are involved in certain stakes. I'm actually more intrigued by the women's side of this, and we'll talk about this. But like, I think the idea of Nikki Cross and Alexa forming some sort of partnership to either A, go after Charlotte, because Alexa and Charlotte still have an issue clearly, or B, go after the tag titles, like Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, to me is where the money is. But let's divert our attention there, because we do have more to talk about with that. We do have a women's triple threat qualifier between Julia, Charlotte, and Zelina. This was a little sloppy. This had some parts in it, unfortunately, that just kind of triple threat sloppy, honestly. Like, it just felt like there were parts where people weren't on the same page. But Julia giving me a Romero special into a curb stomp, like, not mad about it. We get the Rings of Saturn crucifix bomb combo after that. Not mad about that. You had Zelina Vega hitting that double spear DDT and an acai moonsault. Charlotte landing a crossbody and almost winning with the spear. That was a nice near fall there. But Charlotte locks in the figure eight on Zelina, only for Julia to break it up with a top rope stomp and hit Vega with the Northern Lights bomb for the win. It felt like everybody was just maybe doing a little too much in this. Like, there were parts of it that just got sloppy. And sometimes I like sloppy because it's sloppy in a way that I'm like, yeah, because they're fighting and it's not pretty. But this was just kind of like, just everyone seemed like they were maybe a step off with each other. Just the chemistry wasn't there. But Julia wins, which means Charlotte is not advancing to Money in the Bank. And later, we see Alexa throw some shade at that, which I thought was good because she is advancing to Money in the Bank. So I like that she was just like, oh, I'll see you at Money in the Bank. Oh, oops. No, you won't. That was cute. And she, Charlotte before, had given this promo saying she had done everything except win Money in the Bank, which is kind of true when you look at her accolades, right? This was kind of the one thing that she doesn't have. So I liked that Alexa kind of continued to needle at that. And Alexa also did say it's important to have friends around, because when you lose everything, there's nobody to pick you up. So it certainly feels like they are still kind of leaning in that direction. But I like that. I'm kind of intrigued by whatever's going on here with Charlotte and Alexa, whether that's Alexa turning spooky and and doing what they were doing with Charlotte. Like, I feel like Charlotte's character could really use something that interesting, or this is the way to pivot her against her. I'm interested in either option there. What do you think about the match that we got, and how do you feel about Julia being the one to advance?
My camera just went dark. Let's reset that real quick.
Oh my God, the Wyatts are joining.
The Wyatt are here, my friends. This hasn't happened in quite some time. I don't know what just happened, but you might see my screen pop back up and you'll see a little message on here letting me know, hey, press OK.
He's back.
I'll tell you what. I don't know what they're doing with all the women. I feel a little lost. You know, like, I'm trying to understand. Like, I kind of thought that by throwing Julia in there, it was like kind of like a, you know, like a monkey wrench in it, just to kind of have her in there and see what we'll see. There you go. What would come up. But
sure,
I was surprised, you know? So I guess maybe she is the monkey wrench for the actual match itself when they put it together. Right.
I would be surprised if Roxanne's not also in it. Cause
yes,
this relationship, right, where they were in NXT, they were mortal enemies, and then they were with no justification on the same side of things, and then they were drafted to different brands or ended up on different brands. We haven't done the draft yet. So I love this from Allie when your camera went out calling it Alex with a six instead of an X. That's so good.
I'll tell you what, I'm surprised that WWE did this. Usually we see Charlotte in every single type of title picture run. So they must have something big coming up for her not to be in the Money in the Bank picture.
They are also not using Money in the Bank to further whatever's going on with her and Alexa too. That was kind of the more surprising part for me, but I do think that Julia just moved up to the main roster and she's immediately being made to feel important. Ryan saying, love Julia, no more multi-people matches after Money in the Bank. Yeah, they love triple threat qualifiers, and to their credit, they usually do a pretty good job of using triple threats to advance a story between the two people that aren't qualifying and moving on. Like next week, we're going to get Jade and Naomi in a triple threat with Nia. Feels like Nia will probably move on from that and Jade and Naomi will be angry. Or one of the two of them could get into Money in the Bank, hopefully Naomi, and that'll make Jade upset in some way. And maybe Jade goes on to win a last chance qualifier or whatever. So they do a good job of making those things matter. But they also love to use triple threats to evade the DQ. Like they're like so obsessed with that idea. I would love to see qualifiers that aren't triple threats at some point. Again, that is the way AEW is reliant on the eliminator match. WWE is reliant on the triple threat qualifier for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They all have their little quirks that they like to fall under. So
they sure do. They sure do. You're right in that there's a lot going on in the women's division that isn't super clear. What I do like is it feels like we're getting back to some more title adjacent programs. Would be nice if Zelina had something or the US title had something other than a rematch. Like they just do not know what to do with that mid-card title. Kind of with both of them, but Lyra has at least kind of settled into what she's doing a little bit. But man, they've got some work to do. They've got to some work to do there. But you know what? We've got some work to do in letting you know about our sponsors, our friends at BetOnline AG. I'm going to let Sean tell you all about them, and then we'll let you know about some odds for this weekend, because there's a lot of wrestling that you can bet on. I'll tell you what.
I want to talk to you guys about our great partner at BetOnline AG. Yes, the place that lets you bet on pro wrestling. We've gotten our pro wrestling betting odds from them for years, well before we even worked with them. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about them. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payout, the industry best bonuses. They've been trusted for 25 plus years because of their safe and secure environment and their quick payouts. But you can bet on pro wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know more than anybody, go ahead and look at those odds. It's the same ones you've seen on Fightful for years. You might see one that sticks out to you and you go, wait a second, there's no way that person's going to win. Why are they an underdog? Make yourself some money. BetOnline AG. And hey, it doesn't stop there. Whatever sports you want, they got you covered. Popular games like blackjack and roulette, Supernova, Skyward, all that stuff. BetOnline AG. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can at BetOnline AG.
BetOnline AG, and boy, oh boy, do they have a lot going on over there as far as odds go. Will Ospreay heavily favorited against Adam Page, and that's one that I didn't think the odds would be so far apart at, but Will Ospreay at a minus 900, I feel like Adam Page is like compelling enough and making a compelling enough case that I thought those would be a little closer together, but that might be a fun one to play around with. Mercedes and Jamie, you got Mercedes as the favorite. Tony heavily favorited against Mina. Ricochet heavily favorited against Mark Briscoe. The Hurt Syndicate, wisely so, extremely favorited against the Sons of Texas and FTR. Favorited against Daniel Garcia and Nigel McGuinness, which makes sense with my head, but not with my heart, because I love Nigel McGuinness so much. Then over on NXT Battleground, Obafemi overwhelmingly expected to retain, as is Steph. That's an interesting one, because some people have said Steph should lose to Jordan Grace and head up to the main roster. There are some people that are under that belief. So if you think there's even a sliver of a chance, you might want to throw some money down on that. But Sol Ruka heavily expected to retain over Kalani Jordan as well. Tony D favorited over Channing Stacks Lorenzo. Now that one's interesting too, because there's some mob family dynamics that could come into play there. But Joe Hendry expected to win over Trick Williams. Another one that I feel like could probably go either way. And of course, Saturday night's main event, we did get a women's match announced for today, that rematch between the Liga and Chelsea. So that's not up yet, but John Cena heavily favorited over R-Truth, which we will riot if that's the case. Damian Priest favorited over Drew. Seth and Braun very heavily favorited over CM Punk and Sami Zayn. And Jey Uso overwhelmingly favorited to win over Logan Paul. So those are your odds for this weekend. Head over to Bet Online, make yourself some money. Stay tuned to Fightful Select. If we have any lock picks, they will be in that Fightful Select Discord. So hang out there. Fightful Select had so much information for you on the Wyatts. We're going to have confirmation for you as soon as we can about whether or not WrestleMania is returning back to Vegas this upcoming year for WrestleMania. It will be a future Mania there. We weren't told it was this year. So just to keep super clear on that, lots going on. Lots going on. But let's keep working through this episode of SmackDown. Get in your super chats. We are cooking along here. We appreciate your support tonight. Stay tuned all weekend. We got wrestling post shows like crazy for you. You've got me and Alex covering NXT Battleground for you. You've got Sean on the main doing a, I believe, a solo review for Double or Nothing this weekend. Those shows tend to go long enough. He doesn't really need a co-host. Alex and I will be on Fightful Select as well, having an alternative review back there. But Saturday night's main event also going to be covered by our usual Collision crew. They're going to do a Collision recap as well from what was done on Thursday to kind of set up the go home episode into the pay-per-view. So plenty going on there. Let's talk about something that I know made you happy, because Worlds Collide is coming up, and we have Legado finally in a program. They have a match that is going to be featured there. I can't remember who it's against, and I forgot to write it in my notes, but I will look that up again. I know El Hijo de, not Vikingo.
No, El Hijo de
Dr. Wagner.
Dr. Wagner, yeah.
Yeah, isn't it Psycho Clown? And I forget who the third is.
Psycho Clown.
Guess could say, right? But we've been seeing this tension build. I do feel like we are going to that well too often, of just like there's tension within this faction. That was a big AEW problem for a while. It's now kind of infiltrated. Oh, Pagano, that's the other one. That's a part of that. The trio on the Triple A side. But I'm just excited to get to see Santos Escobar wrestle a damn match, Alex. Let's go. It's been way too long.
Man, I'll tell you what. Maybe perhaps also win a match. I don't know if they're going to start burying the Triple A guys this early, but I do feel like whatever happens in this match might be something along the lines of a mishap between certain people in Legado.
No way. You think dissension might come into play and cost them the match? No way.
Cameron, sorry, guys. I don't know what is going on. Usually happens every once a year, the camera goes crazy. So I
apologize. Oh my God.
I am still here. I'm just in
the dark. Why it's six?
But yeah, so I don't know, man. I need to see Santos, like, make him the AAA world champion tomorrow. I don't know. Whatever. Something. Like, just do something with the guy. First of all, if you guys have looked at him, he is 100% looking like a beast. I don't know if you've seen him.
Yeah.
He's cut. He's dropped weight. He's cut. He looks amazing. These vignettes that he does and these video segments that he does, they look like straight up like soap operas. Beautifully shot. He's so good when he speaks.
That's been the case literally since NXT too. They were feuding with the Tony D family, and that stuff, you want to throw the cinema world
we
around.
We gotta like, use him.
They've always done that. They've always taken pride in the presentation.
And do me a favor, by all freaking means, let's stop like bunching them up together. Like, you know, let them branch out. Let them face some people. Neat. You know,
would be neat.
That's all I gotta say about that. Like, I'm not a hater. I'm not trying to hate. I don't know how to book shows. I'm not a professional booker. I'm not a writer for WWE. I don't know what goes. Obviously, we all know what goes on with that Netflix show. But outside of that, like, the closest thing that I have is my relationship with Freddie, who has written for them and knows the behind the scenes stuff that has happened there. So like, when we talk and discuss Santos, we're
Alex.
Yeah.
There's just a name on the floor.
No need to drop. Freddie's just in the other room waiting for me to finish. but yeah, so you know, it's they got so much talent, man. It's hard to sometimes see some of your favorites just not. And I understand everyone will tell you, like, well, there's not enough television for everyone. Dude, you got 3 hours. 3 hours of SmackDown.
Yeah.
You could literally
find time for Santos Escobar, man. Like
you can hold four matches every hour and still drop two segments within those four matches to further storylines if you wanted to.
I will say it was a refreshing change of pace to have six matches on tonight's show. Yes. That is one nice thing about these qualifiers. Thank goodness.
You could literally have, you can set up four matches, you know, and you know, they don't all have to be 18 minute long matches, you know, and they don't all have to be disqualifications, you know.
Correct.
And they all don't need, unfortunately, for some reason, WWE has now made the ramp so long that their entrances just take up like 2 minutes of the entire TV time. I don't know if you guys have noticed that the ramp has gotten very long, you know.
Oh, it was like, I forget which pay-per-view it was at, but it was comically long.
Oh, and my Lord.
There was like talk of Aleister Black returning. And I was like, it would have been so funny if they pushed the coffin all the way down to the ring. Like it would take so long to get down there. And then he did like this.
It's I understand.
Wheeled him down.
They want to fit more people and all that good stuff, you know, and you know, I don't know if you've heard, but this is the hottest they've ever been. But like, you know.
In case you've been living under a rock.
In case you've been living under a rock, let me spit on you. But yeah, so I don't know. There's a lot of little things that they've changed that have not made things better. For instance, like, let me have more Santos.
That is fair. That is fair. Wagner, Berto Minutes and Worlds Collide. Yeah, that is, there's going to be some fun in ring. Follow Fightful Espanol for that beat. I am not, unfortunately, as familiar with AAA. I'm barely familiar with CMLL. There's some talent that I like that work out of CMLL a little bit more frequently, but Luis Pulido has you so covered on Fightful Espanol. He is a wealth of knowledge about, Mexican wrestling in general. So, but this was the general takeaway that I got was like there should be some fun in ring coming out of
this. Is this the end of May? No, it's next week, right? Shoot.
Got it. Yeah, we got another week left.
Sorry, guys. I'm just getting ready for spooky season and Christmas.
It's like 250 something days till Christmas, right? So
gotta say it.
Tom LaValle saying, just love for you both. Nothing to say about it.
Thank you, Tom. I love you.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate it. We'll take all the love that you give.
I'll take love and money. Money I'll take both of those and love.
Yeah.
And if you really love me, show me how much with money. No, I'm so kidding.
You're like, I know my love language.
I know my love and I know my worth. Stuff. There is a price tag on it.
Every man has a price, as they say. Yeah. B. Norm is saying happy 69th birthday to Buck Showalter.
Wow.
Nice.
Nice.
Guy.
Across town, though. He's across town, so we don't worry about him.
No, he's not. He's not even there anymore, is he? Buck Showalter?
Isn't he the coach of the Mets?
No. Didn't he?
Buck Showalter is the manager of the Mets.
Carlos Mendoza is.
Carlos Mendoza is the coach of the Mets. Are they used to
Buck Showalter was there, but departed.
That goes to show you how much I watch the Mets.
Yankee homer. Which you should say,
I still think Bobby Bonilla is still playing for them.
He's still getting paid.
He's still getting
paid. Get paid, Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah.
C. Delgado saying, could be worse. Could have watched TNA tonight. I am happy to make that a Joel and Crest problem. But you can watch them. They do a great job with the Thursday post show over there. I am at my capacity for pro wrestling. I would watch TNA if I had more room on my plate, but I do not. I do not. But Joel and Cresta do a fantastic job covering that show. NXT crossover has really revitalized the product. There's Sean was posting about it before that they were near sellout or had sold out for this event. So they are benefiting from that partnership, even though their talent not necessarily being made to look the best on WWE TV. So but they're selling tickets, and that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
They're looking to do anything and everything to.
That's right.
Trump everyone else and make sure that they're the only player in town, my friends.
Well, what's I think we've already talked about this, so I don't want to wax poetic about it too much, but the relationship there when talent gets cut from WWE and goes to TNA is still so murky to me. Still so murky to me. Very odd. But let's get back to this episode of SmackDown. Thank you so much for the super chat support, guys. We do appreciate it so much. This was nice. There was a lot to talk about on tonight's show. We've had some kind of thinner episodes of late. This had some good stuff going. We get a couple of announcements that I wanted to cover as well. Bianca Belair returning next week from her, I think, broken finger injury. They did a nice vignette for her, and she said, it's been a wild ride the past little bit. Like, she's lost championship. She's lost friends. She's looking forward to getting back to it. So her coming back to SmackDown will be a nice shot in the arm for the women's SmackDown division. We get the announcement of Chelsea versus Zelina Vega for tomorrow. And some Money in the Bank qualifiers that are set as well. Andrade, Jacob Fatu, and Carmelo Hayes, which should be fantastic. And as we mentioned before, Solo Sikoa not super happy that Jacob Fatu was in that qualifier. And Jade Cargill versus Nia Jax and Naomi. That should be very fun as well. And we will have a John Cena appearance on SmackDown next week as well. Let's keep moving along. We started the show with a, stop me if you've heard this one before, Priest and Drew McIntyre pull apart. Drew McIntyre is at the arena and is immediately ambushed by Damian Priest. We got a wild pull apart brawl. Officials regain control. My God, the tension heading into Money in the Bank and Saturday night's main event continues to escalate
tension.
Between these two. Oh, man. We also have a women's wrestling promo parade. We get Tiffany Stratton opening the show. And she's kind of reflecting on Money in the Bank last year and her rise as champion, which I thought was a nice callback because we did have Tiffy Time in the Bank. And she issues a warning to anybody who is thinking about cashing in on her, which I thought was great. You have Alexa Bliss interrupting Tiffy and calling her rise fast, but saying that the downfall will be even faster. And then Charlotte joining, saying she's done everything but win Money in the Bank, as we alluded to before. And Tiffany calls both of them vintage, which I thought was cute, and says it'll always be Tiffy time. Julia enters next and kind of passes Tiffany with just
great line,
a cold stare. And we led that into our triple threat. So we did just have that promo parade. I love Tiffany calling Alexa and Charlotte vintage instead of old. I thought that was like such a Tiffany way to say that. I thought that was cute. So some good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's getting more comfortable on the mic. That's for sure. I still feel like she would have been better, like if she had someone to kind of like really hype her up and get her out there. But she's a face right now, so I don't feel like faces always need someone to hype them up. I think they do. She's doing a great job of going out there and really putting herself in front of everyone. And, you know, that's hard, you know, to like throw promos out there and speak your mind. And like, I've seen people fold, and she's doing a lot better than she was 3 months ago. I'll tell you that much. Like her tone, how comfortable she's being. It's all really like, it's like natural a little bit.
She, I think, just needed footing to find herself as a babyface. Because she, if you had said, like, she's going to have promo issues on the main roster when you saw her as a heel in NXT, I would have been laughing at you. Because she, like, really, really, really settled in. So I'm glad that she's kind of... They haven't taken away what made her by making her face. So good stuff there. But Jules... saying, sending you both love. Appreciate you. Hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you, Jules. Thank you for that. That's all for me. Thank you. She shows and appreciates her love for me. And for that, Jules, thank you. It's about time. Gosh, never happens to me here. What do I do? I got to be blonde and beautiful in order to freaking get some love around here? I can come in next week like that.
It's a lifestyle. I'm so excited to go back to being a proper one.
It's a lifestyle. It's all part of it.
This time next week, I will be like full summer blonde Kate mode. So looking
forward to it. In 2 weeks' time, I'll be down there, up there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're going blonde. And I was
I did that once. I have pictures. I'm not showing them, but I was platinum blonde, friends.
We're going to need the pictures, Alex.
And I used to do highlights back in the day,
hell
too.
Yeah. So
I was, in the band, boy, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it. I want to see Lance Bass, Alex Cardoso.
Oh, I'll bring it back, girl. Let's go. Too done. Bring back 1998-99 style.
That's right. Well, we do have our women's triple threat qualifier that we talked about earlier, but after... we get this women's division brawl. We get Chelsea mocking Zelina after the loss, which explodes into this with Piper Niven and Alba Fyre and Meechin and B-Fab. I really do like the pairing of Meechin and B-Fab quite a bit. They seem like so the same vibe, and it feels like a very organic connection. Lord knows the women's tag division could use more duos, so I'm hoping that leads to something good for them on that front. And Nick Aldis restores order and books that tag match for later. And we do get Meechin and B-Fab versus Piper Niven and Alba Fyre. Meechin and B-Fab win in under 4 minutes. We have B-Fab kind of absorbing a lot of the early damage before Meechin gets that hot tag. Zelina Vega neutralizing Chelsea Green at ringside, which I think was good and important. B-Fab hits the Fabulous Facebuster for the win. So interesting, B-Fab getting the pin on that one too. Feels like they're trying to build her up. Kind of feels like it should have been Meechin, in my opinion, just because I think it cuts the legs out from Piper Niven and Alba Fyre a little bit, but I wish this had gotten more time. I feel like you're right. You could have shaved a couple of minutes off that main event and given it to this would have probably been a good way to go. But I'm glad that there are women's tag matches happening. I just hope that they lead to tag title shots. I know that's crazy.
How dare you even say that? It's nice to see B-Fab out there, man, and getting some good reps and, you know, representing and doing what she needs to do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
At some point, you're going to have to... Oh, this is going to sound bad. I probably shouldn't even say what I'm about to say. But at some point, I'm going to say it anyway, you got to start, okay, not phasing out the vintage people, but instead...
creating the new stars.
Instead, really making the younger crowd feel important.
Sure.
And feel like they're going to eventually be somewhere within the higher ranks.
Yeah, you need to start roster. Making fresh faces. I think that's even more true on the men's side.
We went through it when we had the whole switch from Bret Hart to Shawn Michaels back in the day. you know, and you saw the younger generation come in and kind of really take over. We started again in the early 2000s with the new lineup of this, you know, Cena, Orton, you know, friggin' everyone that came up with him, Batista, you know, like all of that. Like you saw that coming up, and we need that again, because WWE, for some reason, unless you're female, has gotten older. And you know,
the reason I say like right? Ron Breaker's their only star of the future.
That's right?
They have not identified anybody under 35 that is like the flag bearer for the next generation. But speaking of vintage, Alex, everybody wants to see it. They want to see Lord. The blonde hair.
I'm gonna have to freaking really dig deep.
Can our love and super chats buy a blonde makeover for Alex? You said love and money was the way into your heart.
Love and money has always been the way to my heart. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we need to see Platinum Alex.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find out. not really be happy about showing y'all that, but.
Meet Norm is complying, saying, I love you, my bangs in my class.
Oh, there it is. Man, that feels good. I'm going to have
this tattooed. Here's a small sack of monies for some t-shirts. Happy Memorial Day weekend to sickos. Top meat out.
I'm going to get that top meat out.
I do think that if your meat is not tops.
Oh, here we go.
You can get there. You can have some top meat with Blue Chew.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be, because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Yeah, mailman. Yeah, stop mailman. Trying to look through the mail for my penis. I can't even say that with a straight face.
Honestly, a couple of things. So, they weren't a planned read tonight. I gotta be real.
Oh.
But one, I had to go potty. And two, the segue was too good.
You were that quick? Or did you just do it there on the chair? Because you're amazing.
I know I was that quick. I was that quick.
Friends.
Boom, boom. My bathroom is right off of my
studio. That's impressive.
And to your not being able to say, like, dick pills, whenever somebody's like, to Sean, they're like, you're not a real journalist. He's like, we sell dick pills on our post shows. Like, we're not trying to be something bigger than we are. Like, let's relax.
But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that, friends. There is nothing wrong with that. Don't ever feel
ashamed.
But staring
at the wrong package, mailman.
Yeah, mailman.
Let's keep working through our rated R superstar.
Ooh.
SmackDown post show. We got more to talk about. So keep those super chats coming. You guys have been amazing, amazing, amazing with the support tonight. We get a DIY vignette with Ciampa and Gargano that says something needs to change and their path back to the top starts now with Ciampa facing Chris Sabin. I mean, this was a really fun match. I know you're less familiar with Chris Sabin as a singles competitor because he's such a young rookie. But kind of controlling with the pace with some technical offense, which nerds like me loves. But you have Ciampa just being like so brutal with chops and the Willow's Bell DDT in this. And I loved you had Sabin rallying with like that diving DDT and triangle crossbody. But Candice LeRae helps Ciampa hit a running knee for the win. Great to see Candice LeRae back. Interesting to see her realigned with DIY. I like DIY reestablishing some momentum. The Motor City Machine Guns just don't feel all that important on this
on the show right now. I honestly think it would be such a good use of them to have them go to NXT and start. That division needs help establishing who is at the top of their card, who's in the middle of their card. They just lost Inamura back to Pro Wrestling Noah in Japan, and Inamura was a part of one of the top tag teams there with Josh Briggs. So I feel like Motor City Machine Guns, I know we joke about how they're such young upstarts, but sincerely, taking their experience down to NXT, I think is something that would be so helpful. So helpful for that tag division, just doing a short program there or whatever to start make some of those teams feel more important. Because right now they're like a legendary tag team that are pin eaters on the SmackDown tag division at the moment. So I would like to see more for them. But I like DIY getting reestablished, and I like Candice LeRae being aligned there. That's a nice touch. Mm-hmm. Kind of feels like we're reforming the way without a couple of really important parts. So we will see. But your thoughts on this match between Sabin and Ciampa?
I like Ciampa with no beard. He looks incredible. I think she should continue doing that. The reason why I'm not concentrating too much on the match is because we know these guys can kill it in the ring. Okay. I mean, this is, and by guys, I mean he needs DIY. Beard. What?
Throw the beard all the way back in. This is
no, don't do beard. No more beard. Secondly, I would 100% agree with you. I think they would be better off probably, you know, especially since they now signed for 3 more seasons. You know, going down to LFG and kind of like seeing what we can do with them, you know, and kind of like really make their way up to the main roster again, make them feel fresh. Maybe repackage them, you know, maybe
you're
the
right.
Moniker Motor City Machine Guns just doesn't resonate in 2025 as much as everyone thinks it should.
They were like, sending them down to NXT is too easy of a joke. We're going all the way down to LFG. It's just fantastic work.
You know, Evolve needs some help. You know, it's on Tubi.
I'm actually surprised with the Hardys being in TNA and this crossover relationship being there that they haven't done Motor City Machine Guns versus the Hardys. I wonder if we will get that down the line. If we, will
I don't
get
know
that
what we're missing, but it's something going on there.
You want to talk some Jeff Cobb Mateo?
Let's talk about some JC. Yeah. I mean,
Jacob Fatu and JC Mateo taking on Jimmy Uso and Rey Fénix. Fatu and Mateo kind of struggle to work as a team early. Dissension. Fénix and Jimmy to kind of shine a little bit, which I did appreciate about the match structure because it allowed Rey Fénix, who is still new to this crowd a little bit, and Jimmy Uso, who's always so reliable, to shine. That wild corkscrew plancha from Rey Fénix was nuts with the Poison Rana, and Fatu with the pop-up Samoan drop looks so good in this. Later in the match, Solo Sikoa distracts Jimmy, giving Mateo the opening for the Tour of the Islands, which just remains one of the coolest finishers in the whole wide world. This went about 12 and a half minutes, and it felt like maybe one of the most adequately paced things on the show. Like there was a lot of fun to be had in this, but you can just tell Fatu post-match still not trusting Mateo. There's all this tension brewing within the faction. There are just tensions brewing in all of the factions. A tea house could never brew as much as there is brewing in factions on WWE programming right now. I love factions, but inevitably this has happened in New Japan. This has happened in AEW. Like sometimes the playbook just gets a little flat because the only thing that you run is tensions brewing and that gets tiring.
Sure.
This I think will be one of the more productive ones because Jacob Fatu is a breakout star. Your thoughts on this match? I had a lot of fun with the match for sure.
Yeah, these guys are killing it. I mean, what more can you say, right? Like they're hitting on every cylinder right now. They're not missing. And I think that this is, again, you kind of like, we kind of just spoke about it, like find talent and really push them up, you know, and see what they can do. And they found it you know. Solo is doing a great job of being able to speak more freely. Yes. I like that he's really starting to remind me now of his brothers with some of the way that he talks, his mannerisms, his facial expressions are really starting. I'm starting to see a lot more of both brothers in him, right? And the way that he kind of like presents himself. I wish he was a little tougher, but I can, you know, like I don't want him to be.
Well, they can't all be as tough as Alex freaking Cardoza, okay, man?
Sorry, okay? I'm trying here, friends. I just don't like the fact that since the beginning, Solo was not given the gimmick of the Alex Cardoza gimmick, right? Like, of course, strong, yeah, no,
it's
tall,
their biggest downfall, honestly.
Beautiful, gorgeous. God, he cooks banging ass rice and beans. You know, like
Solo even had like the blonde top going for a while. He's just like you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We're almost brothers. If JC Mateo's family, I'm definitely like, I'm there with it. So,
I agree with you. There could be like a little more aggression from Solo. It is tricky because the like cerebral chess player isn't generally a super aggressive role. But when one of the chess pieces is Jacob freaking Fatu,
correct,
that makes it a little tougher because that guy is as badass as they come. So the idea of like, if I can outthink this guy, it's like, nope, that's just not going to work on Jacob Fatu in my book. But I agree with you. And I also thought that Fénix and Jimmy Uso were a fun opposite side of the coin in this because they're such different wrestlers. And I felt like they actually had a good give and take tonight for the most part. So. Some good stuff.
Yeah.
We got an LA Knight promo saying that he's walking into Money in the Bank with momentum, and it's not spooky season, it's championship season, and the crowd just continues to love LA Knight, which is great for him. We also get this emotional speech from R-Truth where he gets a little more serious and addresses the Cena heel turn. He blames Cena's ego and isolation and calls him a corrupted hero. And says, if Cena wins, we riot this weekend, which I thought was kind of funny. So some good stuff there. Any thoughts on either of those?
No, just happy to see, you know, R-Truth, you know, standing up to his childhood hero and seeing where they go with it.
I will say I'm glad they're doing it. I think it's extremely silly that it has its own, like, full program behind it.
I mean,
like, if he squashed R-Truth for heat, I feel like that would be phenomenally productive. It being a full match at Saturday night's main event, I'm just like,
yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Because the cumulative age is John Cena is 48.
Yeah.
R-Truth is 53.
We're talking about almost 100, guys.
We're combined 100 years old and 101 years old in this match. There are as many Dalmatians as there are years on Earth. Wow,
that's crazy.
Between both of these guys. But we're gonna wrap up here shortly. So get in those last call for super chats here. We have this last Money in the Bank qualifier to talk about between Aleister Black, LA Knight, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Quick rundown, because a lot more of you are watching now than were watching
at
the beginning of the show. We thank you, almost 6,000 of you, spending your Friday night with us across platform. So a reminder to subscribe to Fightful Select. We will have all the scoop skis we could possibly bring you this weekend between Saturday night's main event, Double or Nothing, NXT Battleground, so much wrestling going on. I believe Grapsity is going on at its normal time tomorrow as well. Saturday night's main event is going to be covered by your usual Collision crew, who will also recap Thursday's Collision at the beginning of that show. So you will have full coverage across the board for that. Alex is going to do a Saturday night's main event review behind the paywall. I believe Sean is doing one on the main as well. Not fully sure of that. I should have checked with him, but he usually does. So I think that's the case. Additionally, we will be having your NXT Battleground review. That'll be me and Alex Pulowski, Sour Gramp style on the main channel. Some good stuff on that card that I'm looking forward to, though. Oba, Femi, and Miles Bourne, looking very forward to. Steph Ecker and Jordan Grace should be fantastic. So looking very forward to that. And then Double or Nothing, man. Great, great, great momentum from AEW headed into this card. I'm so excited for this pay-per-view. Mercedes versus Jamie Hayter. Nigel McGuinness is going to be wrestling, which means I'm a happy gal because that dude's my dude. And of course, Ospreay and Hangman in the main event, plus that Anarchy in the Arena match. Lots going on.
Wow.
I'll be on the main for that for sure. And Alex Pulaski and I will be behind the paywall as well on Sunday. So tons of Fightful programming coming up. Be like 175,000 other people. Subscribe to this YouTube channel and tap that bell for notifications. We make the joke here that, like, don't just tap the bell, tap out to the bell, okay? Because that bell is, it's getting grapevined. That's how bad it is locked in. So tap out to the bell for notifications. But let's wrap up here talking about this triple threat between Black, LA Knight, and Shinsuke Nakamura. If you like some strikes, some kicks and some knees, this was the match for you. Strong kicks and striking, honestly, from all three of them. LA Knight was like a little bit more fired up, I feel like, than usual, because I think he knew he could inflict some pain here. But you had LA Knight and Black kind of forming an alliance earlier in the beginning, because they're on the side of being anti-Shinsuke from LA Knight's perspective, at least, because they've done that dance for the US title a few times before. Nakamura looks good in this. He shined early. He had that nice jumping knee tonight. But post-match, we get a cliffhanger in the mid-break there for a minute, but some big moves setting up the dramatic finish on this one. Good stuff. Good stuff in our triple threat here. What did you think of what we got in this one?
Pretty good. Again, someone wasn't in the ring when the pin was being taken. I think I'll leave it at that. I don't want to speculate.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, seeing Aleister being thrown into certain things and whatnot, like, didn't make sense to me. But yeah, it is what it is. You want to capitalize on the nostalgia factor of him being back, you know? So
sure, makes sense. I'm intrigued to see, like, I don't know, the returns of Rusev and Aleister Black haven't fully hit for me yet, but we'll see what happens with this. We will see what happens with this. But other than that, you have The Miz for some reason continuing to mentor Carmelo Hayes after watching Aleister Black's loss backstage. He reveals that he personally vouched for Hayes to have a Money in the Bank qualifier next week. So that does come true, which is cool. I couldn't hate this alliance anymore. I think it's extremely corny and a waste of Carmelo Hayes' time, but I say that every week and nobody listens. So
I listen to you. I listen. I'm paid to listen.
And other than that, just this other backstage with Solo Sikoa and Fatu and Mateo. We have Nick Aldis informing Fatu that he's in that Money in the Bank qualifier, and Solo Sikoa pretending to be excited and Fatu saying, "I love you" with super dead eyes, which I thought was fun. But some good stuff there. Some good stuff there. So any closing thoughts on either of those segments?
No, not really. I mean, it was a few good things, but other than that, I don't know. I maybe the crowd there killed my vibe, but yeah.
Yeah, they were kind of in and out. They were kind of in and out on this, but closing us out with a major $20 super chat. Thank you so much. Thing. Hey, Kate. Hey, Alex. Next week's SmackDown looks good. Nia, Naomi, and Jade should be a slapper. Bello, Jacob, and Andrade should be a slapper too. Plus the return of Bianca. Who do you have winning those qualifiers? Keep up the great work and cheers. First of all, thank you for the generous chat. And I agree with you. Next week does look really good. I'm going to say Naomi advances because I think she's probably favorited to win. Mm-hmm. I think that pisses Jade off. So we'll see how that plays out. I think maybe Jade gets involved in a last chance qualifier if they're doing them. As far as Melo, Jacob, and Andrade, I think Jacob Fatu probably advances, even though I don't like people that hold titles moving on to that. It feels like they could use that to advance Solo and Jacob Fatu. You could also use a loss to do that, though, Alex. Like, you could very easily have Carmelo Hayes win, and then Jacob Fatu not winning it sets him off in some way against Solo. You could have Solo costing him. That's probably what's going to happen, as I'm saying it. I'm like, oh, Solo Sikoa is going to cost Jacob Fatu. It's a triple threat. It wouldn't be a disqualification. They'll run that play. So I'm changing my vote. I'm saying it's Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, Carmelo Hayes would be the right call there. And
I'm just trying to manifest it. I'm just trying to will it into existence at this point.
Naomi's doing incredible stuff, by the way. So, I mean, I love everything that she's doing. This is like the Naomi I've always wanted. Like, I didn't like
Money in the Bank briefcase. I'll caution tape. Oh my God.
I don't want the, you know, the fun, loving, happy, smiley, glow raving. I want this.
I loved that version of Naomi. They just never did anything proper with it. You know what I mean?
That's why it went away. That's why she left, you know? So almost a year
to
date.
I'm glad to see this too. And I think she's probably favorited to win. I could also see Roxanne Perez sneaking into that picture as well, but some good stuff. These qualifiers add stakes to the show, which makes them better episodes of SmackDown for us as well, to the point of that chat.
So, yeah, we're about to leave, so I just want to show you guys. This is a little sneak peek. I can't find the other ones now because obviously it's freaking 12:30 in the morning, but I did find this right here.
Let's go!
Okay, as you guys can see, I'm platinum blonde in that picture. Okay? I was not
Marshall
lying to you.
Marshall Mathers Cardoso, what in the world?
I am very angry in this picture. I don't know what was happening, but somebody took a picture of me while I was just like, what are you doing?
We were just talking about how you're tougher than Solo Sikoa before.
All right, so that's me with blonde hair. And I do have another picture. Like, I have multiple pictures of me just with the blonde hair. So I just got to find them. Yeah. I don't know where they're at. I was going to show. If you guys,
Slim Cardoza.
What? Okay. Whoa, easy killers. Let's get out of here. That was my wrestling picture, by the way.
Let's go.
That was my wrestling picture.
That was your wrestling picture?
Okay. So I'll leave it at that. When Cardoza used to be like, I want to be a wrestler.
Hell yeah.
And that was it.
Look, they can't all be Ali Albright, okay? They can't all be Ali Two Belts, so.
Yeah, it's time. Ali says, okay, time for bed. Listen, I look like a little weird dude, but, you know, like, I'm 6'5".
You are
I take care of myself. Tough. I'm just a nerd. And I've never been the type to be like, just like, let me chill with my friends, Freddie Prinze Jr., Macaulay Culkin, you know.
Oh, the names. They just keep falling on the floor.
Sometimes H. Depends on what night it is.
Genuinely like a top five moment on this post show when you went from a first name basis to a first letter.
Single letter, man. Just dropping them.
The thing with H's.
It just reminds me of the old belt buckles, the Tommy Hilfiger belt buckles. I was just a giant H.
Vintage bra.
Yeah.
Brian Sully saying, by the way, Roxanne qualified for Money in the Bank already. She won the triple threat this past Raw. Yeah, I would place her as a possibility to win it too. I think they're going to strap a rocket to her sooner than later. So good stuff. Some good possibilities as Money in the Bank season heats up. But stay tuned to Fightful this weekend for all of your post-show coverage. Stay tuned to Fightful Select for all of your wrestling coverage in general. Stay tuned to this Friday post-show for things like Slim Shady Cardoza. But
wow, Alex, that's great.
Where can people find your platinum blonde ass?
Hey, you can simply go to alexiscardoza.com. Just follow me on everything. I want to see what you guys are doing. Like, when people follow me, I'm just more interested in what others are doing. My stuff is just work, right? So who I'm working with, the shows, posting. And by the way, again, thank you all who continue to support my This Is Fine, a Millennial Diary show. I mentioned before, they're micro episodes, 5 to 6 minutes long, 3 times a week. New episode just dropped while we were here talking at midnight. So if you guys want to go check that out and fall asleep to it, it'll probably help me and yourself fall asleep. So
go check it out. I don't want to hear myself.
You can listen to my sexy voice and think about my platinum blonde hair.
That's right. That's right. You can follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. We're going to be heating that back up in June. Looking forward to doing some wrestling and non-wrestling stuff. I talk about wrestling a lot, so I'm going to try and do some outside-the-box things there as well, including BattleBox watch-alongs, which was something that, I'm not kidding, was requested. So you do look this final chat here. You do look new metal more than you look Slim Shady with the platinum blonde hair.
New metal, yeah.
But everyone, have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. We will catch you here next week.
Peace.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.